Would you please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. It says here that there was a famine in the land. This is speaking about Isaac, Abraham's son. Famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. It speaks about the previous famine. We can read about that in chapter 12 of the same book. Chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land. This is at the time of Abraham. There was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Abraham had a very close relationship with the Lord, and we all know the Lord used to speak to him, and he used to have a clear conversation with the Lord, and Abraham was called the friend of God. So they were so close, intimate friends. But he made a mistake of not asking the Lord as to whether I should go to Egypt or what to do in this severe famine. But I think he thought it is better that I go to Egypt and be there until this famine is over. And he goes there, and you know what happened. Most of us know this story. He tells a lie, and then his wife is taken into Pharaoh's harem, and he gets into trouble. Then the king sends him back with rebuke and with a lot of gifts, by the way. A lot of, says here in verse 16, he treated Abraham well for Sarah's sake, gave him sheep and oxen, donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels, etc. But then the Lord had to rebuke Pharaoh for the sake of Sarah, because she was already married. And this man came out of Egypt a rich man with a lot of wealth. And the same thing occurred here in chapter 26, where his son was staying. And this famine occurred, and in verse 2, here the Lord intervenes and he speaks to Isaac and says, do not go down to Egypt. And stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for you too and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And like father, like son, they say, Isaac also committed the same mistake of telling lie about his wife to Abimelech the king, because they both were very beautiful, it says. And because of her beauty, they might kill me. That's why you say you are my sister. Abraham said the same thing to Sarah and got into trouble. And this man, like his father, he also tells the same thing, gets into trouble. But we read in verse 12, he didn't go to Egypt during that famine. He stays there only as the Lord told him. And then in that land and in that same year of famine, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Can you imagine when a person knows, the whole nation knows that they are reeling under severe famine, and somebody goes to his field and sows his seed, what will people think? There is no fool greater than him. Because it's a famine and he is going and sowing his seed in his fields. And probably the Lord prompted him, we don't know, it doesn't say here. But he does something that was unthinkable during that time of famine. He goes and sows the seeds, and in the same year he reaped 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, so that even King Abimelech had to come and tell him to get out of his place. We read in verse 16, Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. Look at this verse. The king is telling an ordinary man that you are too powerful for us, and we know that God is with you, that we see later on. God is with you. We see that clearly, that God is with you, and you are too powerful for us. Please go away from us. Leave us alone. The king says to an ordinary refugee. And Isaac departed from there, camped in the valley of Gerar, and settled there. And we read further that, you know, the Lord blessed him, and the king comes with his general and makes a treaty with him that they will not harm each other, and so on and so forth. I'm not going into all those details, but you can read later on. So what I'm basically trying to say is that even in times of drought, people can, God can sustain his people, which he did. We saw that. And he can give 100-fold returns for your labor. Even when everybody is struggling and wondering what to do and how to make ends meet. And there's a verse in Psalm 37 verse 19. Psalm 37 verse 19. It says, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil. It is those who trust in the Lord about their security. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Can you believe that? In the days of famine, a person who fears the Lord and reverences him, he will have in abundance. And it is very interesting to read, even in Jeremiah chapter 17, it speaks about the tree planted by the river. It says in verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, I'll read 7th verse also. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought. Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. We can turn there. Matthew chapter 13. He speaks about four types of soil on which the seed was sown. The seed is the word of God, Jesus says, after he spoke this parable to the multitude. The disciples later on come and ask Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? And he says to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. They keep on hearing, but they will not hear. They keep on seeing, but they will not see. But to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He says, and he explains the parable to them. He says, the word of God is the seed, and anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Just make a note of this phrase. Does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away that has been sown in his heart. And in the parallel passage, in another gospel, we read that some seeds fell on the road, and people walked over it, and birds came and ate them up. And because he didn't make an effort to understand what has been sown in his heart, that the evil one comes and snatches away. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky place, this is second kind of person. Seed that is sown on rocky ground, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He's so thrilled to hear God's word, and he's so excited, and he receives it with joy. I heard of a young brother who was with us some 35, 40 years ago. He told in one of the meetings that we were informally meeting young brothers. He said, first time when I came to CFC, that's in DeCosta Square, I was so blessed and challenged and encouraged that Sunday. And then they asked him, what happened after that? He said, I didn't come to the meeting for the next six months. He said he was blessed, but he didn't come for the meeting for the next 6 months. Boy, now you know where that person stands. He's not here with us. I hope it's going well with him. So immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. He received it immediately, and immediately he falls away. And there is a third kind of soil. It says, the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. See, some people receive the word and God blesses them. And you know, most of the people who have come to CFC in poverty, we don't believe in health, wealth, prosperity gospel. We believe if you honor God, God will honor you. And God's promise is true, that even in times of drought, he will take care of you. We believe that, and we teach those who come in our midst with heavily laden with debts. We teach them how to get out of it and how to live simply and be faithful in what they have. And here are some people who receive the word and they obey, and God blesses them. And when God blesses them, it goes to their head and they don't know how to handle it. And then they become richer and richer. And then it says they are so occupied, their mind is so occupied with their riches, how to invest here, how to make money there, how to buy this and that and all that. These worries of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful, and they also fall away. And there is the fourth type of person or soil. It says, and on the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, in another translation, in another place it says, in an honest heart, he receives the word and he understands it. We saw with the first man, he did not understand and he didn't make any attempt to understand. But whereas this man, he understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. So this is another type of person. And see, brothers and sisters, it is very important for us as to what we sow. We reap exactly what we sow. If we sow apple seeds, I cannot expect a harvest of pineapple. You will reap exactly what you sow. And not only that, what you sow, you will get 100 times or 1,000 times more than what you sow. For instance, if you sow a grain of wheat, you will not get back only one grain of wheat. You will get back in hundreds. And you see, outside we have drumstick trees. I have never seen any drumstick tree like that, bearing so many drumsticks so abundantly. I have never seen in my life, even though we have in our home back in hometown and even where we live now. It is just only one tree bearing, I don't know, probably the Mohanlal should be knowing how much it is bearing. See, this is law of nature. You sow one seed and you get 100-fold, 1,000-fold, an abundant crop. And be careful as to what you sow. That is the message today. We heard in the memory verse, last week's memory verse was, a man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6:7. And do not be deceived. It says God is not mocked. A man reaps exactly what he sows. And shall we just turn to that verse in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. That means you cannot fool God. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. And we will see that what is reaping to the flesh and what is reaping to the spirit later. But the one who sows to the spirit shall from the spirit reap eternal life. And he is speaking here again about reaping and sowing and reaping. You sow in season of sowing and you reap in season of harvest. And some take time to sprout, some come up quickly. And I have told this a few times, like overnight what grows is mushroom. And if you want your life to be like mushroom, some people want quick fix for everything. Instant miracle, instant answer to prayer, instant coffee, instant this and instant that. But God doesn't work like that. God sometimes delays so that we may learn patience and perseverance. And if you want something that is solid, that is durable, then you'll have to wait. Like for instance, an oak tree. That takes time to come up out of the ground. And then it grows and grows and grows and lives for decades and maybe centuries. A few years ago I told about Chinese bamboo tree. Some of you may remember that. Chinese bamboo tree is a special kind of bamboo which in China, when they grow that, when they sow that, it doesn't come up so easily. First week, first month, first year, second year, third year, fourth year. Then the sower thinks that something must have happened. I mean, ordinary people like us who don't know much about that will think that it must have been eaten by some worm and it must be dead. But lo and behold, in the fifth year, it sprouts. See how long it took for that to come out of the ground. Fifth year, it comes up and it starts growing, and they say, you can see it grow with your naked eye. Every day it grows about a yard, about 3 feet. And it grows. And it's a strong one. So if you want your life to be strong, have patience. When the word of God is sown in your heart, try to understand it. And try to assimilate it. And try and give chance for the word to work in you, so that it will produce fruit, and that fruit may remain, like Jesus says. See, it says here, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap life eternal. Let us look at what it is. Let's turn back one chapter, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 onwards. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to each other, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, this is very important for us to understand this verse. We who live in the new covenant are not under the law. Means we are not under the Ten Commandments. Not that we don't keep them. But the Lord said, in the last days, I will write my laws upon their minds and upon their hearts. And that's what happens when we come to the Lord. And the law of God is written upon our hearts, the tablet of our hearts or in our minds, so that we don't have to murder somebody or live immorally or things like that. But we hit the root, like John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree already. So Jesus came to lay the axe to the root. And when you lay the axe to the root, you deal with the root, not the fruit. The fruit is murder. The root is anger. The fruit is adultery. The root is lust in the heart. So Jesus came to deal with the root. So when we deal with the root, we are led by the Spirit, not by the law that deals with the fruit. So it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Means, we don't go by rules and regulations because it's already been written in us and we know it and we understand it and it is there in our heart and in our mind and we are led by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit tells us what to do, what not to do. I don't go by the rule book, but I'm led by the Spirit. And if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under law anymore. And then it says, the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is the fruit of what you sow to the flesh. So they are evident, and they are, first of all, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, means heresies, envying, drunkenness, and carousing. Carousing means drinking parties, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, it's good for us to examine ourselves under these things and see if any of these things are there in our life. All these that I read, then we are led by the flesh and we are sowing to the flesh, and then we will reap abundant harvest from the flesh. And it says, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The word of God is very clear. You cannot add to it. And you cannot say, oh, God cannot be so strict. He's merciful and loving God. Really? But the same God says here, those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you sow to the Spirit, then what will you reap? Verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. No law in the world, or no religious law in the world, is against this. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. That is one mark of those who belong to Christ. They have crucified the flesh, means they have killed, or they keep on crucifying the flesh whenever the flesh rears its head, like a cobra that rears its head. Every time it rears its head, give a whack. Every time you whack it, it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and it dies. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit, etc. It says very clearly there about living to the flesh and living to the Spirit, by the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we read about a person sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So it works in both ways, sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. If you sow sparingly, you'll you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will have a bountiful, abundant crop. And some essentials of harvest is that you reap the same kind of seed that you sow. And you reap in different seasons, and you reap more than you sow. That is law of nature. You reap plentiful when you sow something. And be careful as to what you sow. And everything that you sow in the ground, good seeds I mean, they sprout, they come up, they grow, and they yield fruit. And you don't have to be afraid, even in times of drought, where suppose you are transferred to some place, there is no fellowship, there is no brother or sister to fellowship with, and you seem like you are in a desert, in a place of famine. You don't have to be afraid, because the Lord is with you. He said, I will be with you even till the end of the ages. And when the Lord is with you, and when He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. He said, the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, and you don't have to be afraid of the spiritual drought. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you and encourage you and can give you new revelations and strengthen you from inside so that you become stronger even though you are alone. You don't have to be afraid. And sooner or later, as you keep praying, Lord, give me some brother or sister who is like-minded, who has the same hunger and thirst after your kingdom. Lord, I want to fellowship with them and grow with them. If you do that, you think the Lord will not answer your prayers? He will definitely give you what your heart desires, what is good for your spiritual growth. And we need to evaluate our harvest and see and invest in our time, in our finances, relationships, and things that honor God, and things that are worldly pursuits we don't have to, and examine the motives of our heart, making intentional and righteous choices that lead to a fulfilling life. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 14. Chapter 11, verse 4. It says about a man who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable. You know, a farmer, if he keeps on, I mean, it is talking about a lazy farmer. If he keeps on waiting for favorable time, and he looks at the wind and he says, today it is too windy, tomorrow he says it is too sunny, it is scorching. Another day he says, oh, there are no clouds, I will postpone it, I'll do it tomorrow. He keep on postponing things, saying tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. If tomorrow comes, it'll be today. So such a man, he will not sow anything, obviously he will not reap anything. And we read that in that parable, the seed sown in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast to it and bear fruit with perseverance. Dear brothers, this is something that is lacking in many Christians. Perseverance, that is sticking to it, and patience. By faith and patience, the saints of old, they obtained their promises, it says. And we are called to do the same thing, by faith and not impatience, but by patience. If we wait, we will not be disappointed. Harvest will come sooner or later. And people will see that. And when you are growing in these divine virtues, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things, people will see that, and definitely they will see your growth. Paul says to Timothy, take heed to yourself first and to your teaching. And then you will be able to save yourself and others who listen to you, who hear you. So first we need to take heed to ourselves before we go and speak or preach to others. So if that is not true in me, then I have no right to go and share with somebody about how not to lose your temper. If you are the kind who always blow your top, then you cannot go and speak to somebody to get victory over that. Brother, speak only in the area in which you have victory, which God by His grace has given you. Don't go beyond your boundary. Paul says very clearly, no, don't think more highly of yourself, but think soberly according to the grace that God has given you. And you know, all these things begin in our heart. The same chapter, Jeremiah 17, it says, the heart is deceitful above everything. Who can know it? And who can heal it? Only God can do that work. Take out that stony heart and give a heart of flesh. Give a new heart and a new mind. And write His laws within you so that you will be able to keep it and bear fruit. And it all happens in our heart. That's why it's very important to guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23, that verse that some of us know, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or springs of life. That means you become what you think over a period of time constantly. Today you are what you've been thinking all your life, whether good or bad. Today your condition, spiritual condition or fleshly condition, is based on the little choices that you have made in the years past. So decide today, dear brothers and sisters, that henceforth you will store God's word into your heart. You will sow God's word into your heart. If there is no sowing, you can't expect reaping the harvest. If you don't take the trouble of reading God's word and meditating upon God's word, listening to, like we have so much in this church, daily devotions we have books, we have, audios and videos, and last for few generations, that much we have, which other people don't have so much. And we have living examples also. It's not just head knowledge, but it has worked in people who have taken it personally and seriously. And it has borne fruit and is bearing fruit. And they are going from glory to glory. So, dear brothers and sisters, take God's word seriously. And be careful as to what you entertain. And how you spend your time during the day. Are you with your mobile all the time? Then you are being molded by what you watch, what you see, what you hear. But are you, is your spirit constantly in touch with the Lord? Whatever you are doing, even mundane works, your spirit is in touch with the Lord, your mind is in touch with the Lord. Like your head is in heaven, your body is down here. So that's how a person becomes heavenly minded. If he keeps on meditating upon God's word, like that psalm says, their delight is to meditate upon the word of God day and night. It doesn't mean that I'm all the time, my nose is in the Bible. No. I keep meditating. The Bible speaks more of meditation or thinking about God's word than reading, because the word of God was not written until 500-600 years ago. We have hard copies now in our hands. This was not there until 1400 years after Christ. Now we have much more than what they had, and we should be some of the godliest saints on earth in this century and in the centuries to come, if the Lord tarries. May the Lord bless these words.
Praise God for what we heard this morning. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked is the truth. Paul warns, saying, you don't be deceived. So I can be deceived to think that, you know, I can mock God. What is the mockery that he's talking about? It's not that I go mock God, but thinking that I can sow something and get away with it. I can sow and perhaps I can ask God for forgiveness. I can get away and do not need to reap. That's why he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We see from the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, his sowing to the flesh started with not going to the war, with laziness, and he should have been in the war. He didn't go there. And he fell into sexual sin. Again, he sowed to the flesh. And again, there was a murder. He sent Uriah in the front line of the battle, and Uriah and the other soldiers died. And again, sowed to the flesh. And he kept quiet about it for 9 to 10 months and nothing happened. He might have thought, okay, I got away with it. Sowed to the flesh, sowed to the flesh. And in that period, you know, after that momentary defeat, they came out victorious in that battle. So he might have thought, oh, all well. You know, I committed one sin, two, three, but it's okay. I got away with it. It's examining my own heart. It could very well be my condition as well. Knowing that I've done something and I showed to the flesh and ignored, go against the conscience and come and attend the breaking of bread as if nothing had happened. I take part in the breaking of bread and go out and think that, oh, nothing happened. I haven't fallen sick. I am not dead. I sow to the flesh and I get away with it. No, God is not mocked. What I sow, I need to reap. Prophet Nathan came and he revealed, he spoke to the king, and king realized his sin and he said, Lord, I've sinned. And we read that in 2 Samuel 12:13, and Nathan said, your sin, God has taken away your sin, you shall not die. We see that the penalty of showing to the flesh has been taken away. but the consequences is not taken away. And that's the law of God. Perhaps the penalty of breaking fellowship with Him by sowing to the flesh, our sin breaks fellowship, our relationship with the Lord, and God forgives us. I want to tell young people that there is a consequence of sowing to the flesh. That is not taken away. That has to be faced. So we may confuse that, oh, God forgives, so there is no penalty. But yes, there is no penalty, but there is a consequence of what we show to the flesh. And we read that that's destruction, that's corruption. And there's a example of a story of a boy, and there's a mango in a mango tree. The mango is coming up, and it wasn't fully ripened. His parents strictly told him not to pluck it till they tell him when to pluck. And when they were away, this boy went and saw and plucked it, and he came to the front door and to see whether the parents are coming back, and he finished eating quickly. And as they were returning in front of the house, he dug a hole and hid the seed and covered it up. And the parents came and asked what happened, and he acted as nothing had happened. Week passed by, and he thought he got away. And 3 weeks later, this sprouted up. This mango tree sprouted up. And father noticed, what happened? Something might have happened. You know, we can't get away with what we are showing today to the flesh. Let's take it seriously. Yes, there is forgiveness, but Lord, let me not continue to sow to my flesh. God is not mocked. I know what I'm doing is not right, but I'm still continuing to doing it. God is not mocked. I can't mock God. There is a consequence. And Paul says, don't show to the flesh. Do not cultivate the flesh. Rather, crucify it. We heard that from Galatians 5:24. Crucify the flesh. We heard about three things. Investing. We heard about showing. I want to talk about quickly to the young people on three things. How do I sow my time or invest my time, my finance, and my thoughts? Heard that, and we were encouraged to meditate on God's word. And how are we showing our time? Is it so occupied that my Christianity has become from Sunday to Sunday? That I turn up, I stay here, perhaps late in the evening, I spend in fellowship and I go into the world. I've seen that in my own life. It's all just one long day. This day starts on Monday and ends on Friday night. Just one long day. What am I doing? Work, this, that, fully occupied. And that's how the world and its system wants us to keep us, fully occupied. And I shouldn't just accept that and say, oh, what to do? I need to survive, I need to earn, and this is what it is in this competitive world. No, I have to reject and say, Lord, I don't want to give in to this system. I don't want to spend so all my time into things of the world. Like we heard and we're encouraged to meditate on God's word. Like we read in Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days. Lord, help me to number our days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom, that I may present a heart of wisdom. It could be, you know, different things. Could be in reading the word of God, meditating the word of God, encouraging others. Lord, help me to invest my times of the things that will last for eternity. How about my finance? When I earn, today's word for the week talks about my salary is not mine. To think that my salary is mine, it's not mine. I must say, Lord, this is your money. I'm just a steward. It's yours. How do I spend it? I was talking to one or two young people, and I was asking about what are the components in your salary. And we are all sort of become little clever or wise in terms of how we handle our finance, there is a big component in saving. And there is a big component in spending. And almost nothing on giving. And perhaps something that we don't teach or hear often in this church, that the component or the habit of giving has disappeared. I want to take it seriously for myself and say, Lord, like we heard in this church from Brother Zach, earn all that you can, save all that you can, and give all that you can. I need to cultivate the habit of giving. And we may say, oh, I want to give cheerfully. Let's start giving. Then we will go into how to give cheerfully. That's what it came to me. Yes, I'm not a cheerful giver, so I'm going to start giving. Then let me learn to give cheerfully. My thoughts, my motives. We read in 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing all thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ. We've heard that in this church, the thoughts may knock at our door, but are we going to let the thoughts into our heart? Guard your hearts with all diligence. Lord, I'm going to guard my heart with all diligence. I'm not going to sow this thought into my heart, this lustful thought, this boastful thought. It may come and knock at my door. I'm going to reject it. I'm not going to let this thought get in. And if I sow now, I will reap. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, it reads, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or meditate on these things. So such thoughts, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellence, worthy of praise. What we are today, like we heard, is because of the things that we sowed in the past. What we will be tomorrow and in the future will be based on what we sow today. What am I sowing with my time? What am I sowing with my finance? What am I sowing with my thoughts? Lord, help me to sow it on the spirit and not on flesh. May God help each of us. Amen.